You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Matt, we're going to go through a little bit of that Bills game. Let's try to get through the offense as quickly as we can here. And we're going to start off, obviously, with the quarterbacks, Josh McCown and, of course, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I think if you look at these quarterbacks, you have to love their play outside of the two mistakes by Josh McCown and what I consider a catchable ball by Gary Barnidge into a tight window, which sometimes...
The ball got to him.
Yeah, the ball has to get there in a tight window, and the ball needs to be caught. And as we found out, if you've watched any preseason football, you cannot tip the ball in the National Football League and expect it to not be an interception. The players are just too fast, too reactive. You know, you look at Tashaun Gibson, you know, last year and what he did, just being in the right situations for some of those tip balls. So if I had to grade Josh McCown, I would give him a C, bordering on a C minus, because the one thing that Josh McCown, and this shouldn't slow down his reads or change anything he does as a player, is you cannot be reckless with the football the way he was on the second interception and just throw that up there. As I said, safeties cover too much ground. Corners are as good with the ball in the air as receivers are in today's NFL.
So I'm going to give Josh McCown a C as well. I thought, you know, take away the two interceptions, he was 7 of 8 for 57 yards. That's solid. But, you know, remember we talked about Josh McCown with pressure, Josh McCown without pressure.
Right.
In this game, Josh McCown was under pressure 7 of his 13 dropbacks. That is too high of a number for what this offensive line is supposed to be. Why is it a problem? On those 7 dropbacks, Josh McCown was 1 for 4 for negative 1 yards with 2 interceptions, and he was sacked 3 times.
Yeah, not good.
5 negative plays when under pressure.
And that's bigger than just Josh McCown now.
Yes, but when he wasn't under pressure, he was 6 of 6 for 58 yards. Almost
similar
10 yards
to what he
attempts.
Did in the first game.
Yes, he's got to have that safe pocket. And listen, it's not going to be perfect in the NFL.
No.
But, you know, if you can get it right now, it's over 50% under pressure for him through 2 weeks. This first team offensive line has to get it together and get it back down to around a quarter where it was last year. And if you do that, Josh McCown's shown he can be pretty good. Johnny Manziel continues to impress, continues to progress. 10 of 18, 118 yards and a touchdown on the day. I thought he stepped up in the pocket nicely. I would have loved to have seen him lead them down on that drive. I thought one penalty kind of really hurt that drive there at the end, but he looked good to me. And again, Johnny Manziel, 12 dropbacks without pressure, 8 of 11 for 75 yards and a score. 9 dropbacks with pressure, 2 of 7 for 43 yards. So it's so important to keep these guys clean and this offensive line do a better job than it was. But I thought Johnny Manziel, I'll give him a B+. Thought he did very, very nicely, and it continues to show the progress you're hoping to see.
I agree. I'm going to go with a B for Johnny Manziel. There's more that I'd like to see from him. And those people out there that are talking competition between these guys, if this was an active competition, I were Johnny Manziel, I'd want to try and do more, you know, within the parameters of playing a high quality level of the quarterback position in the National Football League. He's not pressing, which is great, and he's developing week by week. I love the fact that he deviates out of the pocket when he has to, and that's what you love about Johnny Manziel, his ability to make plays with his feet and then his arm. I just want to continue to see a step. He gets a B this week. It's maybe a B+ for me next week. And if he's playing A- football, you know, with the seconds or thirds and, you know, whatever discounted group you want to give him, that's fine. You know, but as a group, we have to have B to B+ play out of the quarterback room to win football games each week.
Yes, certainly we do. Let's talk about the running backs now. Terrence West led the team 11 carries for 42 yards on the day. Isaiah Crowell, 5 carries for 14 yards. But really, other than that jailbreak play, he had 4 carries for 18 yards, which is 4.5 a pop, which was looking good. He had the 13-yard run. Terrence West had a 12-yard run on the day as well. Those two guys, what did you think of the backs in this week?
I like the backs. I will give the backs a B-. I thought, given their opportunities, when they had a crease, what they did with it was what I would expect the National Football League runner to do with the football. Those chunk plays, I've talked about them all, Friday as we came out of that football game, you know, 11 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards. That's the type of runs that we need from these guys. And when given a hole, it's something they did with it. The only thing that I don't like, and it's simply being critical of Terrence West, because that's what we do as analysts, is him dancing with the football. you know, put your cleats in the ground, you make one miss, great, get vertical and get 2 yards and get down. How many times did we see, or you do you, when you watch football, guys trying to get that extra yard, or break that one more tackle and the ball gets popped out, and all of a sudden the other team, you know, has the football, and then they go score and it shifts the entire momentum. Look at the Buffalo Bills game last year. You know, when we gave the ball to them, they capitalized and we couldn't.
That's when they took it. That's when they took it right from Jerry Hughes, took it from Terrence West, and went in for the touchdown, and that was the backbreaker in that one. Wide receivers, to me, you know, we know, I think we know at this point, six guys who are making the team.
We do?
Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel,
Travis Benjamin,
Marlon Moore.
Okay.
100% Marlon Moore's on the team. Mike Patton was already talking about him.
How I don't consider him a wide receiver.
He's a wide, well, fine. But he also went on to say he could play more wide receiver this year. He's going to be, he's listed as a wide receiver.
Sure.
He's a specialist.
I gotcha. Okay.
Vince Maley, you know, in this game, 1 of 7 on the day, dropped two. He had 1 catch, 7 yards, 5 targets, dropped 2 passes. Had a horrific drop today. He got deep, was wide open. It was perfectly dropped in the bucket, right over shoulder dropped it. So Vince Maley, I think right now, is having a mental block with catching the football. That's a problem. Is he a guy who could, you know, is he on the bubble now? Fourth round pick?
A fourth round pick for a team that needs their playmakers, because if at any point where, you know, Dwayne Bowe's hamstring becomes an issue again, say week 5, and, you know, say Gabriel or Hawkins go down with a sprained ankle, right? You've taken two playmakers that are going to play significant roles for this football team. You know, you put them on, you know, they're going to be outside looking in on game day, and you have to trim that down to 45. So then you're asking Marlon Moore or Vince Maley to essentially, not that the football is going to go their way or they're going to be schemed, you know, offensively to get the football in any play, and Josh McCown's going to know that, but do you rely on them to do what they have to do and be the guys? Or do you rely on a guy like Terrell Pryor, who has all the talent, that the ball could essentially go their way?
Terrell Pryor, I don't think, would be up for a while if he makes the 53.
Ugh. I'm good moving on.
I just think it's going to be tough for him to be active early. So for me, with these wide receivers, the guys who stood out, obviously the local guy, Shane Wynn, looked good. Darius Jennings continues to impress me. 2 catches, 40 yards. He had the 37-yarder, the biggest play of the day, on the ball from Johnny Manziel when he rolled left and threw the backside post to Jennings. We didn't really see a ton of Taylor Gabriel. Benjamin each had a catch. Andrew Hawkins, 1 catch on the day. Not a lot from the starters. Hartline, 2 catches, 18 yards. We didn't see Dwayne Bowe. Those guys are set. I'm not worried about that. To me, you do want to see more production over the course of, you know, a half, which is what that first team offense played. Really, you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. To me, the guy, Jennings is making the case, I think, to be the one on the practice squad. Josh Lenz, 1 catch, 6 yards. I think the Josh Lenz hype train experiment is over.
Yep.
Taco Bell. And so, you know, to me, Jennings and Wynn are probably, I think Jennings is number one for the practice squad from that group.
Wynn
maybe 2, Lenz would be 3.
I think, again, love what Wynn can do. I think Jennings is the most NFL-ready type of player, meaning that if he were to have to come up over Marlon Moore, if he has to run dummy routes, and I mean, like, you know, routes that aren't essentially going to get the football, I like him doing it over Moore, over Wynn, you know, in the situations when it really matters with, you know, with the bullets flying on a Sunday. So I think you're right. His production has been great. There's no significant drop off. He hasn't dropped a bunch of footballs. He's done everything that's been asked of him. And so I could definitely see he's the most viable option to make this practice squad.
I think he is too. And one thing that's interesting about Vince Maley, I think Vince Maley ultimately makes it, because if you put him on the practice squad, somebody's going to grab him. But at the same time, if this guy is potentially going to the practice squad on the Browns, who drafted him because this is a team that needs young receivers, that would, I'm sure, say a lot to other people around the NFL. I don't think the Browns, although last year the Browns unfortunately put an incredibly talented guy, the guy who would be the number one receiver on this team, on the practice squad last year, Charles Johnson.
And when he gets scooped up?
Right after week one, or right before week one. Sad. But mainly, to me, these drops aren't good, because I think they need him on this team, and you need him to be confident, because he's a guy that I think would play. He's playing on special teams, and I think he would be up.
Is he?
He is.
What role?
They have them. You know the positions better than I do. I know who the gunners are, but I don't know as you count like in who you have.
Wing, tackle, guard on the punt
team? Like, on kickoffs, he's like second in.
Okay. L2, R2. Okay. Yeah. Got you.
Then I don't know if I've seen him on punts.
Okay.
When he's on punts, he's been a gunner, but we know that he's not going to be a gunner.
He's not going to be a gunner. And I'm not playing devil's advocate, or actually I will play devil's advocate with Ifo, which is yet to be determined, and Randall Telfer is yet to be determined. You're down to a class of 10, okay, which is still a very, very large draft class. And everybody else outside of Vince Mailey makes this team either practice squad or actually makes the football team, right? You got Duke, Xavier, Danny Shelton, Nate Orchard. Gaines might be a DB that makes the practice squad, right? Malcolm Johnson's going to make this football team, another draft pick.
Yep.
Is that's not as big of a black eye when you talk about percentages and batting 100%. If you get 9 out of 10 to show you that, you know, your scouting staff did an amazing job and put together, you know, spot on evaluations of this talent, and one guy, you can't play in the National Football League if you can't catch the football. You can't. Because our biggest, as we evaluated this right around draft time, it was, you know, 1 year with significant production at Washington State, and everyone else in this class has played multiple years of starting football. You got Ibrahim Campbell playing 40 games. You got, you know, Vince Mailey playing 11, 13, whatever
it is.
He's
making a transition, and I know he had drop issues in college. So people are saying, yeah, he had the drop. He also caught 106 passes.
He
did. Was incredibly productive.
He did. But I meant it wasn't the lead thing. It was, you know, he run 4.6 something at the
and
combine.
He's faster than that. Right.
He's faster than that, you know, on the field. But there were other knocks against him, and the easiest way to overcome the fact that you struggle to get off the press as a rookie, or you don't have the highest end speed, but you're reliable as hell, and you always catch the football.
Catch the football.
And that's the question mark right now with him, is catching the football.
Yeah, I think Mailey needs to show something in this third preseason game to solidify his spot. I think that
But he's not going
to
have it. It's going to be the fourth. He may be the Isaiah Crowell.
They're going to have to work. Well, it could. I think he's going to have an opportunity. He's not going to be among the first cut. So he's got basically,
right.
You're right, a little bit of the game against Tampa, and then he's got a
Correct.
Lot of the game against
exactly.
Chicago to show his way. But I think that physically, you like what he's getting open. That's the good thing. But getting open only matters if you can catch the ball. It doesn't get you. It doesn't
Need
get you a whole lot.
Yards.
So to me, right now, they are struggling. I believe the wide receiver grade's almost incomplete. I feel good about the core, but we haven't seen it because we haven't seen them all out there together,
right.
And we haven't seen them really for an extended period of time.
And how, you know, at this time last year, you know, we were excited about Andrew Hawkins and the player that he was. Played an entirely different role for this football team, and you loved what he did once the regular season came along, but you weren't singing his praises, expecting him to have a 60 catch year last year, coming here as a free agent from Cincinnati. So he emerged. So I think, and as you and I talked off air, I don't think we've even come close to seeing what this offense is truly going to look like. The closest will be this week.
I think we'll get a look at it this week as Wilbert Montgomery, the running back coach of the Cleveland Browns, strolls by, getting fired up over there, my man Wilbert. Yes, when we come back, we're going to hear from the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Josh McCown, who addressed the media after today's practice.